courtesy of Apollo 100 and the second movement of Mendelssohn's Fourth Symphony. And that's going to close out the program. Hope you enjoyed it. And if so, join me again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock right here on KOIN Portland. My name's Tom Morgan. We've got CBS News coming next for you at 11 o'clock.
CBS News, a federal study released Monday evening, indicates Mexico has replaced Europe as the major source of heroin to the United States. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The study by the Drug Enforcement Administration was released by Senator Charles Percy of Illinois. He told how the supply channels for the illegal drug have changed.
It appears as though the French Connection has essentially been bottled up. The flow of heroin from the formerly abundant supply coming in from the French Connection is down to almost zero now. Mexico has replaced it. And better than 90% of all of the samples taken this year have come from Mexico.
Percy says he's asking Secretary of State Kissinger and other officials to take immediate diplomatic action to try to dry up the heroin supply channels from Mexico. More news in a moment.
If you enjoy wine with your meals, here's something you should know about wine before meals. Most wines go with your meals, but Dubonnet goes before. Think of it as an appetizer, a wine that's right for your appetite. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. The distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
President Ford Monday night hosted a White House dinner for President Anwar Sadat of Egypt. In a toast to Sadat, Mr. Ford said, "Your courage is taking the first steps toward peace after almost three decades of war. Assures your place in the history of the Middle East." Sadat thanked Mr. Ford for what the Egyptian leader termed an even-handed policy in the Middle East and a greater degree of understanding of the Arab cause. But Sadat Monday also reiterated some old and controversial Arab goals, including formation of a Palestinian state and the internationalization of Jerusalem. Closing arguments were presented Monday in the Karen Quinlan case. Her parents went to court to try to get permission for doctors to turn off the respirator keeping her alive. Miss Quinlan has been in a coma for 6 months, with some experts saying she has virtually no chance of ever regaining consciousness. More from Steve Young in Morristown, New Jersey.
Arguing for Karen Quinlan's right to die, the lawyer representing her family said life is good, but not an absolute good, and death is evil, but not an absolute evil. Medicine, he concluded, must be the servant of man. Technology must be the servant of medicine. In opposing the family's request, Karen's court-appointed temporary guardian admitted his own anguish. "It's just not right for me to be a party to life and death," he said. "I hope I never have to go through this again in my life." In behalf of the hospital where she lies in intensive care, another lawyer warned Judge Robert Muir that a decision in behalf of Karen's parents would mean the court would be practicing medicine. The lawyer for Karen's attending physicians told Judge Muir a decision favorable to Karen's family would undermine and erode all accepted standards and traditions and criteria of the medical profession. "You," he warned the judge, "would have to decide the who and the where and the when and the how of turning off the respirator." Steve Young, CBS News, Morristown, New Jersey.
It appears that the strike against National Airlines will continue for a while. Monday night, striking flight attendants turned down a tentative agreement aimed at settling the dispute. The strike has grounded National's flights for 2 months. Rex Stout, the detective novelist, died Monday at his home in Danbury, Connecticut. He was 88 years old. Stout created the popular heavyset detective Nero Wolfe. The stories sold more than 45 million copies and were printed in 22 languages. CBS News continues in a moment.
Don Rickles versus National Car Rental.
As this episode begins, Don has misunderstood a large poster displayed near the airport baggage area.
$13.95? What are those hockey pucks doing?
Don now hurries to the National Car Rental counter.
Miss, when did you Wall Street bankers start charging $13.95 an hour?
Sir, that's $13.95 a day. It's one of our new deflated rates.
What do you rent me? A deflated blimp?
No, Mr. Rickles. You get a car like GM's new Chevette or a Vega.
Sure, and I cash in on my war bonds to pay the mileage charge.
There's no mileage charge. It's $13.95, period. Just pay for the gas you use and return the car to the city where you rent it.
Look, I've got to pick up my wife's Canasta Club. What about your larger cars?
We've lowered the rates on them, too. You see, at National, we feature new GM cars. We offer S&H green stamps on U.S. rentals. And now you get all of our great service at deflated rates.
Deflated rates? You must be trying to go broke.
Rates not discountable and available at most National locations. Economy cars subject to availability.
A new federal credit law goes into effect Tuesday. Lending institutions will be barred from refusing credit or loans because of sex or marital status. The law also says that a woman credit applicant cannot be asked whether she plans to have children. Several other provisions of the law will go into effect later. For example, after January 31st of 1976, anyone turned down for credit will have the right to find out why. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Radio 97 News, Oregon officials are making preparations for extradition proceedings of a man accused of murder and one accused of escape. Marion County District Attorney Gary Gortmeyer says in Salem that he will take every legislative step necessary to return Thomas Creech and Carl Bowles to Oregon to stand trial. Now, Creech is charged in the murder of Sandra Ransomoog during an attempted holdup of a Circle K store August 17, 1974. Bowles is charged with escape from Oregon State Penitentiary. Portland Mayor Neil Goldschmidt thinks that the city has a problem with its manpower program, but the problem is not the program. The regional labor officials have threatened withdrawal of funds for the project.
Well, I agree with Commissioner Jordan's staff and with him that we've got a lot of problems to correct. I have absolutely no sympathy for their suggestion they ought to withdraw the sponsorship, and no suggestions that they've made privately to me that they'd be happier if I ran it directly are going to be acceptable. Because in effect, that's just an attempt to say that, Mr. Mayor, if you'll let us off the hook, we'll let you off the hook, and I don't think we need off the hook. I think we put ourselves on the hook and we'll deliver.
The mayor says because of federal stubbornness, the city inherited problems with its manpower programs it is still struggling to solve. The city has, in fact, been far more critical of the program than was the federal government. Mayor Goldschmidt thinks the Fed should simply let the city redraft goals and guidelines, but he says that political pressures from Washington against the program may result in the city of Portland being made an example. And Oregon Governor Bob Straub has signed into effect a demonstration forest management program, which he says will pump $25 million into the state's economy. The program will be in effect in Yamhill, Tillamook, Washington, Columbia, and Clatsop counties. By 1995, Oregon should have 600,000 solar heating units. Those hopes were expressed today to a subcommittee on energy and environment taking testimony on developing alternative energy sources in Eugene, Oregon. Showers tonight is the weather forecast. Showers tomorrow and tomorrow night. Lows in the 40s. Highs both days 50 to 55. The chance of measurable rainfall is decreasing to 60% tomorrow night. 44 degrees in the Rose City right now. That's Radio 97 News. It's 11:08.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. In 1778, Friedrich Anton Mesmer astounded Paris and the medical world by introducing what he termed a new medical theory, the theory he called animal magnetism. Although he was discredited and accused of being a practitioner of black magic, mesmerism was to continue to fascinate medical men, till it flowered into the present-day wholly scientific and important branch of medicine called hypnotism. That is today, but a century and a half ago, it was misunderstood and misused, with many of the men who practiced it unprincipled and little better than sorcerers. This is the story of one such.
Dr. Nugent, you may now wake up.
What? Did you say something, Professor Valdemar?
Quite a good deal in the last 5 minutes, Doctor.
Good Lord. Is it 5 minutes since you put me out?
Believe it or not. In another few minutes, I'm going to let you judge for yourself. I'm going to let you put me under the influence.
Professor
mystery drama, A Living Corpse, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Robert Dryden and Kurt Peterson. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Listerine Lozenges. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
In case you've forgotten how much fun driving can be, Buick would like to introduce you to Skylark, a small car that's all Buick, with room, comfort, and an engine that no other compact car in America offers, the incredible Buick V6. Skylark, it's free spirit made practical.
One thing.
James Harris's ambition is to leave his children a family home. He's going to do it because he and others in Scott, Arkansas, have started a housing cooperative with a grant from the Campaign for Human Development.
I mean, I leave him no money, but I can leave him something they can lay their hands, say this is mine.
The Campaign for Human Development, the United States Catholic Conference.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now, the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs, and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Have you ever been hypnotized? It's a strange, weird, and terrifying feeling to know that you have lost your identity, blanked out. That you have still been in your own world, and yet not of it. A powerful, benign tool in the hands of today's doctors, rigorously trained. But once, as recently as 100 years ago, it was a secret art shunned by the reputable and condemned by the devout. Yet it had its devotees, men of inquiring scientific minds, as well as the charlatans, and the legion of believers who have followed the lure of the occult down strange paths since the dawn of time.
Now, who the devil is...
Oh, Professor Aldemar, it's not the police.
Calm yourself, Mrs. Salisbury. No need for alarm. But for the moment, it seems we must wait to bring you relief. I will turn off the pacificator for the moment while I answer the door.
Oh, if it's the police.
Mrs. Salisbury, the art I practice is not illegal, however much it may be frowned upon by the know-nothings. Besides, I shall close the door to the room and leave, and you will be quite safe. Very well, I'm coming. Coming. Better make sure. Who is it?
Dr. Craig Nugent. By your appointment, Professor.
Oh, one moment. Enter softly, my young physician, and keep your voice low.
You were expecting me?
Yeah, earlier, much earlier. Your arrival now is awkward.
I'm sorry. I was held up on a case. If it is inconvenient, I could return at some other time.
No. As a matter of fact, perhaps it works out all to the good. I have a patient with me I was just about to put under magnetic influence. You will have the opportunity to see and observe. Come into this room, but softly, sir.
Very well, Professor Valdemar.
I would have you in the same room, but the lady is anxious to preserve her anonymity. However, if you will come to this spot in the wainscoting, allow me. Just slide this small shield to one side, and it opens the eye on a portrait in the next room. You will well be able to observe the technique and practice of mesmerism.
At that moment, every instinct within me screamed in silent warning for me to run. My venal ambition and unbounded curiosity nailed me to the floor. I put my eye to the back of the portrait's eye, and as clearly as if I were present in the adjoining room, I watched in jealous awe. One human being attained total mastery over another.
Oh, what was it? Who?
Oh, nothing, nothing at all. An errand boy I sent him packing. Let me start the pacificator. Now I want you to relax.
Oh, I can't relax.
Of course you can. I want you to watch the pacificator over my left shoulder.
Oh, the light is so bright.
Only to begin with, just watch. Listen to the sound and watch the spinning disc. Relax. Relax. You want to go to sleep. Sleep.
Sleep. Yes. Sleep.
Look deep into my eyes. Feel the magnetic influence spread to you and around you, warming and relaxing and making you drowsy. You are falling asleep. You can't fight it. Your eyes are drooping, drooping. The tension is draining away. And now, as I lay my hand on you and touch you, you are asleep. Sound asleep. You will lift your right arm to shoulder height and hold it there steadily. So. Well, Dr. Nugent, are you still there at the peephole? You need have no fear of speaking up. She will not hear you.
You're certain she won't?
Just as certain as I am that she will continue to hold out her hand and arm straight from the shoulder, no matter what weight is placed on it. Yes, observe.
That heavy coal scuttled. She couldn't possibly hold that with her arm as it is.
Oh, but she will, and she can. Look.
That's impossible.
With mesmerism, nothing is impossible. So. She need hold this no longer. The point is proven. You may put your arm down now, Mrs. Salisbury. That's right. Now, do you still have your headache?
Yes. My temples are bursting. It's like a knife plunging into my brain. If I could only get some relief.
You say that you would pay anything for that relief?
Anything.
Very well. Tomorrow, you will remember this when I wake you up. Tomorrow you will go to the bank and take out $10,000 and deposit it in my name at the Boston Federalist.
I promise I will do as you say, if you will only give me relief.
I lay my hand on your brow. I pass it gently to and fro. And as I do so, the pain diminishes. Diminishes. Till now, it is gone.
Yes. Oh, yes. It is gone. Oh, what joy. What peace.
It will not return. When I wake you, you will know that. It will never return.
It will never return.
And you will forget everything we have said about the money. Till tomorrow, at 10 o'clock exactly, You will make the transaction.
I had watched all the foregoing in open-mouthed amazement. A woman cured of incurable migraine headache, for when she woke, it was gone. A woman paying him $15 for the session, but who had promised to deposit $10,000 the next day? Stunning revelation upon stunning revelation. And the most stunning of all, why this tall, cadaverous, cough-ridden man should reveal his secrets and his criminality to me. I had not long to wait for the answer to this.
Well, Dr. Craig Nugent, were you edified and intrigued?
Both. And astounded. But...
Yes?
At the moment, as a doctor, perhaps intrigued more than anything. That cough of yours, sir, is that the reason you bid me here?
Yes. And no. We sit and talk?
First, I would prefer to auscultate your chest, sir. Form some opinion of...
Forget it. Wiser physicians than you have examined me. The consumption is too well advanced. My death is inevitable and in very short order. There is no hope.
Then why am I here?
If you will sit with me, Doctor, because I certainly find myself weak and tired, I will attempt to explain. But first, let me ring for my wife. I am sure you would enjoy a glass of port as we talk. In any case, I am anxious to have you meet her.
I'm sure the pleasure and the privilege is all mine. The idle phrase gagged and stung in my throat. Luana Valdemar was, as always, that vision of loveliness, scarce above my own age. Violet eyes, great and deep enough for a man to drown in. Skin that seemed translucent to an inner glow, and a dark cloud of jet black hair tumbling to her waist that set my heart pounding so loudly I thought all three of us must hear it. In one first look, I was in love, enchanted and in chains.
What will you have, Dr. Nugent?
Port is for older men. May I suggest this brandy?
My dear, this is a bright young doctor whom I expect will loom large in my... in our future. Dr. Craig Nugent, may I present my wife, Luana?
Your servant, madame.
Ah, no. I am yours. Will it be the brandy?
Whatever you suggest.
Luana's suggestions turn out to be more like commands. Leave us, Luana. We have much to talk about.
Don't stay up too late. I hope to meet you again, Dr. Nugent.
I sincerely hope so, Madame Valdemar.
You will. You will. Now, off with you.
Whatever you command, my husband.
You are not drinking your brandy, Doctor.
Hmm? Oh, no, I... Yes, sir. It is excellent brandy. I don't quite understand why I was invited here in the first place.
Of course you don't. I think if you will entertain my proposition, you and I have a great deal to offer each other. For a beginning... Excuse me. If you would pour me some more port.
Of course.
And once I have soothed this accursed scratching throat of mine, I can make a start about explaining all about the end.
As he reaches for the glass, Professor Waldemar's tall, gaunt figure is shaken by yet another bout of the racking cough that snatches away all his breath. In medical dismay, young Dr. Craig is helpless to do anything to relieve him
or to imagine what on earth kind of service he can offer this strange and half-dead man. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Oh, I thought I saw a putty cat. I did see a putty cat.
Hi, I'm Mel Blanc, and that's another of my thousand voices. And that's why they asked me to tell you about lemon mint Listerine lozenges.
Because when your throat is hot and dry from a cold, they make it feel cool and soothed.
And Listerine's anesthetic medicine helps give fast, temporary relief from minor sore throat pain. Lemon mint Listerine lozenges. No matter how many voices you've got, you've only got one throat.
So you get Listerine lozenges, folks.
Use only as directed.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Did you know that the metric system is already being used in many aspects of American life? For example, prescription drugs are dispensed in milliliter and milligram quantities. Many packaged food contents are already listed in customary as well as metric units. And for more information on the metric system, write Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C., 20234.
Birds, you see what I see?
Yeah, CW, them are saucer people, just as sure as I'm standing here.
I wonder what they're saying.
I don't know. That little one looks like he's choking or something.
Probably not used to our air.
Yeah, I wonder where they come from.
Got me? Hey, now that other one's starting to cough.
That's weird. Ain't that weird?
Sure is weird, all right.
Why don't we throw a stick at him and run them off?
Nope, looks to me like they're leaving anyway.
Get the dog at him.
What do you think, Arno? Could anything possibly survive on this planet?
I doubt it, Zoran. The atmosphere is much too contaminated.
And yet, there are signs of life, of growing things.
Perhaps left over from a previous time. Now, let's get started while we are both still able.
Pity. Looks like it might have been a nice place to visit.
Yes, but I certainly wouldn't want to live here.
1984, maybe. Unless we all join in a fight against air pollution. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
As the smooth, mellow port seems to assuage the paroxysm of coughing by the older man, Craig has been eyeing him clinically, dispassionately. Now, suddenly, from under the shaggy brows, he finds that the professor's dark, smoky eyes are burning into his, and beyond them, to his brain. For a second, he can almost feel the world slip away from him, and then, with an effort, as he tears his eyes away, he finds himself his own man again.
That's a wicked cough, Professor Valdemar.
Yeah. I am beyond medical help. However, you might still help me. How would you like to know all my secrets? The study of a lifetime. You have one thing I never had. That precious sheepskin, that open sesame to acceptance by everyone.
I could never put anyone into a sleep or a trance.
Oh, you could, if you knew the secret. All it takes is that.
And you are prepared to tell me that?
If you prove as apt a pupil as I believe you will, and on the giving of a solemn promise from you to me...
I'm a little bewildered. I don't know what to say.
You need not answer tonight. It is late and I am very tired. But I must know by tomorrow. For my time... Well, I don't have to tell a doctor. My time is short.
Must I make the promise before I learn the secret?
No.
Then suppose I refuse to give it after you have taught me what you know.
You won't. I promise you. You won't.
I left that strange house with my head spinning. I'd walked there during the twilight, but now it was almost pitch dark. My way lighted only by an occasional street lamp. I hadn't gone more than 50 yards from the door when suddenly a figure swam suddenly out of the murky gloom.
Come with me.
Luana!
No.
No, it's too dangerous. He might see us.
Not here, in the shadow of the postern gate. Oh, dear Lord. I nearly fainted when I saw you in the house tonight. What brought you there?
He summoned me.
What did he want? Oh, He knows about us.
No, darling, no, no. Although he knows too much about too many things. The man is evil. He makes my flesh crawl. How could you have married him?
I told you. A young girl had little say in picking a husband.
I think he mesmerized both you and your father.
I know he did, Papa. He left every cent to him to pursue his work. I have nothing. What's done is done. I still want to know about Amadeus and why he summoned you.
He had heard somehow of my interest in mesmerism.
How?
I don't know. Not through you.
Are you mad? If he knew about us, if he even suspected I had ever met you before... Oh, it doesn't bear thinking on.
How could he know? We've been so careful.
Never too careful with him. He's diabolical. I have a terrible feeling he knows. And if he ever did...
If he ever did, what could he do?
Ruin your career? Shame me as an adulteress?
Oh.
He has other ways to punish us and make us crawl.
What other ways?
You'd have to have his mind. Cruel, vicious, distorted, and half mad to imagine them. But worst of all, my darling, we'd be separated forever.
No, not that. Ever.
No way to stop it unless...
Unless what?
Unless we got rid of him... Killed him somehow.
No need for that. Providence will provide in time, and very shortly.
You mean he's dying?
He's in the terminal stages now. He knows it as well as any of us doctors.
And the safest thing is for us to stay apart until it happens. Not even see each other.
No need for that. I must come back to the house tomorrow.
Why?
Well, he's offered me a strange proposition which I feel I can't afford to turn down. In return for a promise, he will teach me the secret of a mesmerist.
What promise?
I don't know that yet.
Don't listen to him. Oh, I beg you.
There's no need for concern. Now, he will teach me the secrets first, before my promise, and even after I have given it. Who says I must live up to it?
It's a trap. I know it's a trap. Please, Craig.
At least let me find out what cheese it's baited with. Then let me make up my mind.
If you can...
I should have listened to Luana, but other compulsions were driving me on. I don't defend myself. I was everything that Waldemar himself had named me, and I had to gamble. I couldn't pass up the chance of a lifetime.
So, my young friend, you have decided to accept the bargain, yeah?
At least to listen to the terms, Professor.
Yeah, by all means. Would you believe that I could put you in a trance in, say, 1 minute?
No.
Let us proceed then to test that by example rather than precept. No. Please remain seated. I am just placing this lamp behind your head so that you are in shadow, and as I move to sit in front of you, the light is full on my face. Now, I ask only one thing, that you focus your entire attention on my left eye for 1 full minute. Do not let it waver and do not interrupt. Let us both check our watches.
Right.
Whenever you are ready, look as I asked and indicate for me to begin.
Very well. I'm ready.
Look in my eye. Think of evening skies at dusk, the clouds drifting softly lower and lower, shadows across your eyes, their weight heavy, heavy and gentle on your eyelids, till they want to close. You feel all the tension drain out of you, loose, like a rag doll, and you want to sleep. Your eyes are closing, and the lids are heavy with sleep. You are now fast asleep, Dr. Nugent.
But I'm not. I'm not asleep at all.
Huh? Of course you aren't. That's the secret, you see.
I'm afraid I don't see, sir.
There's no magic magnetic influence that flows to the subject. The subject is a magnet that asks for, draws that influence to himself. It is his desire that creates the trance, conscious or unconscious. He must want to be mesmerized. You did not want to be. You resisted it with all your might, didn't you?
Well, naturally. I thought if it was an experiment, that was what was expected of me.
It was. This time you will cooperate, or at least not fight me.
I don't think you can do it, Professor Valdemar, but I will try to cooperate, if I can.
Look in my left eye. Think of evening skies at dusk. The clouds drifting softly lower and lower. Shadows across your eyes. Now fast asleep. Asleep. Dr. Nugent? Can you hear me? Not even the blink of an eye, huh? I could cut your throat from ear to ear for the horns you have put on my head, and you would be none the wiser. But softly. Softly, you shall be made to pay in time. First, I have a use for you. Dr. Nugent, I tell you now, you can hear me. Do you?
I hear you.
I suppose it would be useless to ask you to admit that you and Luana have been having an affair for months.
Who is Luana?
My wife.
I just met your wife last night.
For the first time?
You introduced me to her.
Very well. We shall leave that alone. For the moment. Just to prove to you that you really were in a trance and to keep you thoroughly on edge about how much you may have revealed, I want you to forget all of this conversation, including what I am about to tell you. At 6 this evening, you will take off your left shoe and bring it or give it to my wife, saying, "A bouquet of roses because I love you, and to hell with the old fool who does not know what is going on." You will remember, Dr. Nugent?
Yes.
You may now wake up.
What? Did you say something, Professor Valdemar?
Quite a good deal.
Did you really put me out?
Believe it or not, I'm going to let you judge for yourself. I'm going to let you put me under. But first... it is time for me to ask for my payment and your promise.
I hope I can deliver.
So do I. As you can hear, I have my own doctor whom I trust implicitly. He finally has told me that my life can be measured in hours. I want you to promise to be by my bedside. I want you to do for me what has never been done before. I want you to mesmerize me in articulo mortis, in the act of death. But just before it, so that the old man with the scythe will be stopped in his tracks.
Momentary stupefaction, Dr. Craig Nugent hears and tries to absorb this amazing request. Stirring and moiling beneath his frozen amazement at the audacity of the conception, A barrage of questions, speculations, revulsions, and doubts struggle for expression and cry out for answers. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
Buick's 1976 Century Regal is the most luxurious midsize car Buick builds. But it's also got a practical side. In fact, it makes a concession to practicality that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Regal, it's got the spirit.
We trust. America speaks. In the words of Thomas Jefferson, I must believe that religion substantially good, which produces an honest life, and we've been authorized by one whom you and I equally respect to judge of the tree by its fruit. Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Somehow you get the feeling it's not the tank they're testing.
Driver, move out!
Step on the throttle and 750 horsepower jumps to your hands. Ahead is a 60-degree gradient of mud and rocks. Although your stomach wants to bail out, you're ready. You're riding in an M60A2 tank, 54 tons of armored steel. Months of Army training as rugged as the Texas terrain you're rumbling through has put you here, smack in the middle of our proving grounds. When you make it, you'll be a proud, proven member of Armor.
Very good.
And you'll earn rewards as exciting as the job.
Join the people.
Information, call 800-523-5000. Remember, this is before the middle of the 19th century. Physicians were just beginning to grapple with physiology, the process of life. Death, the great mystery still, and perhaps forever, was then a total one. There existed almost no apparatus to prolong life, such as is common practice today. Death then was inevitable. It was occasionally predictable, but always total, except in the case of Professor Amadeus Valdemar.
Easy, lady. Easy.
All right, Luana. I have lady's bridle. Let me help you dismount.
I can manage. Watch the mare. She's as nervous as I am. Let's get back in among the trees by the river.
Why did you risk passing me that notice? You saw me out?
I heard you make a promise I hope you have no intention of keeping.
You heard?
The secret of the peephole in the portrait I discovered long ago.
How?
Because on the few occasions I've been able to resist his magnetic influence, pretending to be under it, I have watched Amadeus like a hawk, hoping against hope somehow to find a way to freedom.
No, it will not be long until you do.
Not with your help.
What do you mean?
Until I met you, Craig. What do you think has kept me alive during all these loathsome years? The knowledge that at least when he died, I would be a rich woman. But if he doesn't die, how can I inherit all his wealth?
He will die.
Not if you keep the promise you made.
Luana, my darling, now listen to me. Even if I did keep it, the body is finite. No occult power could keep it alive or stop the disintegration of the cells once the heart has stopped and the blood ceased to flow.
But suppose you are wrong, Craig. Suppose you put my husband just before death into a kind of suspended animation. Then what?
If he is really on the point of death, I can always bring him out of it, can't I?
I don't know. I don't trust Amadeus. He knows about us.
What makes you think so?
I will quote you his own words once he had put you under. I could cut your throat for the horns you have put on my head, and you would be none the wiser. You shall be made to pay in time. Oh, Craig.
I'm still not convinced we cannot outwit him.
We are not in control.
I am, or I will be.
Oh, do you really believe that? Oh, Craig, you are so naive.
What do you mean, naive? I know exactly what I'm doing, and exactly what I plan to do. And no one can take over my mind unless I want... Then... Excuse me. Here, my love, a bouquet of roses, because I love you, and to hell with the old fool who doesn't know what's going on.
What? Your boot?
No, take it, this bouquet of roses. That's odd. It's one of my boots that I'm holding in my hand.
The left one, just as he told you, to offer me his roses at 6 o'clock tonight while you were mesmerized. Now do you see why I fear him? He's always one step ahead of us, all the way.
The next 10 days passed in a strange torpor. A dreamlike state that paralyzed all thought and made me function like an automaton. Session after session with the professor, perfecting the techniques of mesmerism, both the establishment of the trance and then the careful methods of bringing the patient out of it. No mention of anything beyond the clinical, except the closing question each time.
You still do solemnly promise before death takes me that you will put me under the influence?
My automatic reply, yes, sir, Professor. I do solemnly promise. Until, finally, the fatal day arrived and the messenger came to fetch me to fulfill my given vow. How is he?
Sinking fast, barely holding on to life.
I must hurry.
Why? Let him die. It would be a blessing for all of us.
I can't do that, Luana.
You realize if you keep him legally alive that I am left with nothing?
You have me.
I don't have you. I can't have you as long as I'm married to Amadeus.
We can go on as before.
No, we can't. Not even if I wanted to. People will be watching us now.
But I love you.
How can you and make of me what you plan to? A nurse to a living corpse, tied hand and foot to its service night and day. You keep him alive, and I might as well be dead forever, as far as you are concerned.
I climbed the stairs, outwardly calm, but inwardly a seething storm of emotion and indecision. At the open door to the bedroom, I stopped.
That you, Nugent?
Yes, Professor.
Where in the name of conscience have you been?
You still wish to be mesmerized?
Wish? I command it by virtue of our compact and your sacred and solemn promise.
Which I might choose to break?
Oh, no, my dear doctor. I told you you will keep that promise. If you entertain any notion of not doing so, I have made certain provisions to make you weigh your decision carefully.
What provisions?
My affairs are in the hands of my solicitor. Not one penny goes to my wife by virtue of an early marriage settlement, except an amount enough to maintain my body in suspended animation with her as its keeper.
How can you demand such a monstrous thing?
How could you, with your young body and easy morals, have done such a monstrous thing as steal her from me?
I beg you to understand it was not her fault.
I have no time to listen to your son. Remember the boot and the flowers?
Yes. You mean...
How can you even speculate on what post-mesmeric suggestions I have implanted in your brain during our sessions? Ah, you see, I have thought of everything. And now, make haste. The shadows are gathering. Hurry and do what you have been trained to do.
Within 5 minutes, I could perceive unequivocal signs of the mesmeric influence. The glassy roll of the eye was exchanged for that unique expression of uneasy inward examination. With a few lateral rapid passes, I made the eyelids quiver, as if in incipient sleep, and then closed them altogether. I then stiffened the limbs of the sufferer, the legs at full length, the arms nearly so, the head slightly elevated.
Is he dead?
By all the vital signs, pulse, respiration, the contraction of the heart, I would say yes.
No. No, wait a minute. Look at him. At his mouth.
He's moving. He isn't dead, but...
No. Just sleeping and waiting.
For what?
For the cure. When it comes, then wake me so that I may live again.
But there is no cure, not in sight.
So much the worse for you and your beloved. You had better pray with me that it comes, and soon.
So, you chose your precious conscience over me.
Hush! Trust me.
How can I trust you? You tried to assure me a corpse could not be mesmerized.
Not quite a corpse, but soon. Now, believe me, Luana. The physical properties cannot sustain life, no matter what the mental state. Now, it is only a matter of waiting until he dies. And wait we did. Hour succeeding hour. Day succeeding day, and week and month. Until finally it had to be faced. Moribund the professor might be. Dead he was not. Nor would be till brought out of trance. Don't you see, Luana? This has always been my way out. If the worst came to the worst, physiologically there is not enough strength to maintain life. Now, at last, with a clear conscience, I can do what I never promised not to do. I can bring him out of the trance.
Why have you waited this long?
I could assign many reasons, but suddenly I realize I don't quite know. Only that we wait no longer. Professor Valdemar, can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you asleep?
No, not asleep.
What then? Dead or alive?
Somewhere in between.
What are you waiting for?
A cure.
There is no cure. And we cannot wait. I'm calling you back.
Are you so sure?
You were the teacher. You taught me how.
I also never stinted on the warning.
What warning?
That there is no trick. It all depends on the subject, on his will, what he is willing to do. Without his will, you have no control. No control. Not ever to reach me again. Because I choose to stay where I am.
So there we remain. Amadeus, Luana, and me. Luana tied to him as his nurse. Myself, forever trying unfruitfully to bring him back from that halfway house, either to life, to reason with him, or to death for his own peace and ours.
In the Hall of Records, having heard
heard this strange tale, I busied myself to look up the principals. The records are fragmentary and incomplete. There is no mention of Amadeus, but I did discover two death certificates issued in a case of accidental drownings, or possibly a suicide pact, listed in police files. The names were Dr. Nugent and a woman identified only as a Mrs. Vladimir. Close enough to prove or disprove our story? Does it matter? I'll be back shortly.
A lot of happy facts have been written down for you. Learn the happy facts and be a happy for you.
We're the Consumer Information Center of the U.S. General Services Administration, and we have a lot of happy facts, useful facts, over 250 government publications, just filled with facts about nutrition, about simple home repairs, about what records you should keep. You can learn how to remove stains or how to take care of your car. All kinds of facts. For a free catalog, write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Learn the little-known facts of life that can help make your life a little happier. Send for your free catalog. Write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
One loose end remains. The body of Professor Valdemar. That I could find no trace of. Only vague hints here and there of a cult that believed that death might be held at bay by placing bodies in suspended animation, much as the proponents of cryogenics or deep freezing propose today. Amadeus Valdemar could have been reawakened and long ago cured, and with the passage of time, gone to his ultimate reward. The only thing that tends to irk is that I'm sorry to tell you, we'll never really quite know, will we? Our cast included Robert Dryden, Kurt Peterson, and Patricia Elliott. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Would you advise me to take the old road or the turnpike?
Why, the old road is over 120 miles. The turnpike, but 97.
You impose on me. It is wrong to trifle with a traveler. You know it is only some 40 miles from Newburyport to Boston.
But this is not Newburyport. This is Hartford.
Do not deceive me, sir. Is not this river I have been following, the Merrimack?
Oh, no, sir. You are just outside Hartford. And this river is the Connecticut.
Have the rivers changed their courses as the cities their places? Am I forever... But again the clouds are gathering and the storm is at my heels. God curses me for that fatal oath.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Listerine Lozenges and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN Portland. Music Radio 97, the time in the Northwest is 12 midnight, CBS News.
CBS News. Egyptian President Sadat has more talks today with American officials in Washington. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Sadat is scheduled to meet first with Defense Secretary Schlesinger, then with President Ford. Sadat may renew his request for economic and military aid to his country. Last night, the Fords hosted a dinner for the Sadats, and both leaders called for continued efforts to achieve Mideast peace. Phil Jones has a report.
President Ford was the first to speak.
No step we have taken can be an end to itself. There can be no peace until the legitimate interests of all the peoples of the Middle East are taken fairly into account. in a final peace settlement.
Egyptian President Sadat was more direct as he called for the national rights of the Palestinians in any final Mideast peace settlement.
If we are really concerned with an overall settlement, we have to address ourselves to the core of the problem, namely the Palestinian question. The Palestinian people have been deprived for over 27 years of having their own state where they can lead a productive and fulfilling life.
After those heavy words, the two presidents and the invited guests moved to the White House East Room for entertainment starring Pearl Bailey. Phil Jones, CBS News, Washington.
Sadat flies to New York on Wednesday to speak to the United Nations. Mayor Abraham Beam has refused to officially welcome Sadat. Beam says it would be hypocritical to welcome any chief of state who was a party to the recent UN resolution equating Zionism with racism. More news in a minute.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
The most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. It's Contac. It contains no ingredients for aches and fever, no cough medicine, yet gives you longer relief per dose than any pill, any liquid. Full-time 24-hour relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. Contac. Its tiny time pills contain ingredients to work up to 12 hours. That's longer relief per dose from those symptoms than any pill, any liquid. So, give your cold a Contac. All day, all night. Full time. Use only as directed.
Scattered street fighting was reported in South Boston last night, along with some street fires and stonings of police cars. The incidents followed a big anti-busing demonstration in that part of the city. Almost all the white students at South Boston High School boycotted classes, and attendance was also off sharply at Charlestown High School. In Washington, President Ford, who has gone on record as being against forced busing, took another step in the controversy. He did so after a meeting with Republican Senator John Tower.
He told me that he was ordering the Justice Department, the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare to extensively review all other alternatives to forced busing to achieve reasonable desegregation and to provide for equal access to quality education.
Tower says Mr. Ford stopped short of endorsing any of the four proposed constitutional amendments to prohibit forced busing. The Senate Judiciary Committee will begin hearings today on those proposals, one of them sponsored by Tower himself. Spain's leader, Generalissimo Franco, continues to hold his own after he was not expected to live past Sunday night. The 82-year-old leader continued to have stomach bleeding, but he passed the afternoon peacefully and asked for food. Beirut Airport is reported jammed with foreigners, including Americans, who are trying to leave the capital as the fighting continues between predominantly Muslim and Christian factions. Now, this message.
Hi, world. Denny Bracken here with our king of the kettle, Mike Roy. Now, we're going to tell you all about what he's cooking up in a big pot for the cook thing tomorrow on CBS, and now is the time, Big Daddy.
Well, tomorrow we're going to turn our talents to making a snappy cream of avocado soup.
Oh, that's a dish that sounds like it might bowl me over.
It's ridiculous. Who ever heard of a snappy avocado?
What?
We'll be looking for new jobs, both of us, if we keep up with the dialogue.
Snappy like avocado, huh?
Would you tag this to my...
Well, a little snap in your avocado, friends, by tuning in Mike Roy's cook thing tomorrow right here on CBS.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
America has so much to overcome. Hard, concrete problems that only knowledge can resolve. Will you help us overcome them by giving to America at the very source of her future? Give to the college of your choice now.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Georges Charpentier, the man who fought Jack Dempsey for the heavyweight championship of the world in 1921 and lost, died today in Paris after a heart attack. Charpentier was 80 years old. In New York, Dempsey is reported in satisfactory condition with an undisclosed illness. Dempsey also is 80. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
It's 6 minutes after 12 on Music Radio 97. My name's Bill Garrity. I'll take a look at local news at 12:30. Good morning.
G-O-I-N.